You are listening to Level Up Your Gaming Podcast, Episode 60, Character Classes and Being Stuck in a Lane. Today we talk about our character classes and being stuck in lanes. We discuss how classes can confine our characters and influence our choices in character creation. We also cover how these creation choices can restrict roleplay ability as well. If you'd like to participate in the discussion or leave us feedback, you can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. If you like the content and want to hear more of the show, subscribe and ensure you don't miss an episode. New episodes come out almost every Wednesday. Also, please review, tell a friend about the podcast, or share with your gaming group. Now sit back and enjoy the episode. Welcome to Level Up Your Gaming Podcast. My name is Aaron, and joining me in person, this topic is sure to get his blood boiling. Jared.
Are we sure it's going to get my blood boiling? What if I remain perfectly calm?
You're at least going to get quite passionate about it.
Am I going to get passionate?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if not, that was a complete lie, and you can check me at the end of the episode.
Okay, well, what's the topic then?
Character classes and being stuck in a lane.
Oh my god. I'm going to get passionate. I'm going to get so passionate.
So, this topic came about because in our last episode,
yes,
the session zero, we talked about not basically in Vampire the Masquerade, there are 13 clans.
Okay? Is it really 13?
Yep.
Huh. It's quite unlucky.
11, Camarilla, and then 2 for Sabbat.
I shouldn't be too shocked because then there's 12 werewolves.
Sorry, there are 13 main clans, and then if you're in the Vampire like 20th edition, there's like all these extra clans that
bloodlines.
Play. Yeah,
they're not clans.
Different bloodlines, different clans, but effectively those 13 clans. One of the things that we talked about in session zero is that you can't put players together because of those clans. Actually, before I get into the subject, I totally forgot that we need to talk about we got an email from Gary on our episode about when players miss sessions.
Ah, yes.
And so he replied to us. I believe if I'm reading your email correctly, Gary, use our solution, which is you basically excuse the player for an absence. They're working with the guild. They're doing something of that nature. But he did muse on your thought about how to maybe have a player pop in and out. And he was talking about how maybe that might be a bad idea.
So in the email, he kind of covered like how it possibly could bring levels of or accusations of favoritism for that particular player. Really, there's one very simple way to overcome that accusation is be upfront with your players and have open lines of communication.
Yes.
We do this because we're all friends with this person, you know, and he can't make it every week because of real world commitments, you know. It happens. Now, granted, we did talk about checking whether or not if someone consistently can't make it and they're such a big part of this group, maybe moving times, that's something you should definitely investigate if this person's presence is so needed. Yet at the same time, they're absent often. Look at adjusting times. But when it comes down to it, it's just level of communication with your players and being like, yeah, he pops in and out of game because he has real world commitments, and that's the reason why. It has nothing to do with me favoritizing him, because there is always a detraction from not showing up to game. You don't have to imply a penalty when someone doesn't show up to game, because there's already a penalty. They don't get the experience.
Again, I think the popping in and out thing comes more to the your actual ethereal realm popping in and out.
Like yes.
He's working, I believe Gary said he's working at like the Starbucks in hell.
Yeah, I thought that was actually really funny as hell. And this is just one way to do it. There's many ways to crack an egg.
The other way that he described, which I think fits more in line with what we do, I don't know if we would actually do the, I mean, it's the episodic version of this. By virtue of doing episodic games, you save yourself that little bit of you're allowed to bring them in and between out. And out of the games. And they kind of are a niche character then that exists within those realms. He just brought that up, pointing that out with our episodic games.
And then that's just, again, another point towards episodic gaming, yes. You know, rather than chronicle-based gaming or long-term game-based gaming. It really just goes to show why episodic is so much better.
Just have breaks in between it where it's just easy to put players in and out of the game.
And, you know, another thing, discuss with that player their schedule in advance so you can plan those episodes when they're going to show up and when they're not.
He also talked about if you want to give them additional information, meaning that they can, in some cases, come with plot information to prevent the need for a key NPC. We tend not to like that.
Yeah, I would respectfully, you know, disagree.
But I there's nothing wrong with doing that. A lot of GMs will give players that come in a night after some pre-information that might be useful to the group. And in small doses, I think it's useful.
It could be for one episode, maybe two throughout the course of a year. It's just something I wouldn't do. But like I said, there are many ways to crack an egg. That's just not the way I would crack the egg.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there.
Like do with one hand.
I'm putting it out there if you're a GM that likes that style to be able to give players that and make their entrance a little bit more meaningful. That you go ahead and take it. I mean, like again, this is sharing all the tools.
It's what works for your group. That's what it comes down to in the end. And if that works, boom, do it.
But Gary, we just want to say thank you again.
Always Gary
for sending that email. You know, we appreciate it. Also, thank you for helping me write some shtick, rewrite the shtick for that episode. It brought a chuckle to my heart. So,
but yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank
But no,
back to the character classes and being stuck in them.
Yes, back to me raging against the world.
Yeah, we were talking about the vampire clans in the last episode, Session Zero, and the vampire clans, all have. So here's the conundrum that I had when I ran my last vampire game, is that vampire clans by nature, because of who they are, do not work well with other vampires. And so in order to let the players work together well, I just said, okay, you're all Clan Bruja,
mm-hmm.
but you get to choose your disciplines, okay? And that resolved the entire problem, because Bruja will work with Bruja, because they are a clan.
your family, you're supposed to work okay? together.
But then the players got to choose their skills, and I think that this is a way and an approach that we should be doing more as GMs in our game, because it is easier to, I think it's cauterize, is that the word I'm looking for? Bring together.
I mean, coterie is a word.
Yeah.
Cauterize technically means
not cauterize, but cauterize. I might be making up a word.
It's an awesome word though. I like that word.
It is a way to
trademarked.
It is a way to bring cohesion to your group.
I trademarked that, just so you know. No, don't thank me, because now I'm taking credit.
Oh, great. Now you're taking royalties on
now
it.
Now I get the money.
Okay. But no, if you do that, you avoid the whole problem of, because in Vampire, the only reason why you choose different clans is because...
It's because of the powers. It's because of the powers, or because somebody really likes one clan over another, you know? Okay, I'm going to start. Am I allowed to start, like, getting passionate?
Now you can start getting passionate.
Really, I rage against the entire classification system. I do. Dungeons & Dragons, freaking White Wolf, hell, even to some of the new systems that are coming out, you know, Cyberpunk Red, some of the Free League games, Tales from the Loop. Every gaming system seems to want to clump people into lines, and it's mainly due to special powers. And the thing is that we as GMs have the capability to overcome this. We do, as a community of gamers, okay? Because we are not one-dimensional.
It's not a word.
It's not a word?
It's not a word.
Well, we trademarked. Well, I trademarked it. You're screwed.
Damn it.
You owe me $5 for using it, by the way. Oh, no, because you used it before I trademarked
it. Post fact there.
Ex post facto?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing is, we as a community can overcome that. Okay. We can overcome this barrier by starting to break down. Now, we have to use some of our minds. Now, some of us have been entrenched for Dungeons and Dragons and White Wolf and all these other systems for so long that we've become so used to and so complacent to it that we allow it to happen at our own tables. Okay. Why? These are systems that have, it's just, we're trying to break molds here, people. We are trying to elevate our entire community. And one of our communities can be like, guess what? Just because I'm a wizard doesn't mean that I can't enjoy playing the mandolin. But that's what Dungeons & Dragons forces you into. Oh, if you want to play it well, you got to be a bard. Then you got to cross class. And it takes you forever to cross class because we only meet once a week, but we only get like, I don't know, Dungeons & Dragons versions of XP, like 3,000 XP, and it takes 90 freaking months just to become a level 1 bard. Oh, wait, I got to be level 12 before I can cross class, so I got to become a really freaking awesome wizard before I can become a really crappy bard. Okay, that doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm going to swear up and down this podcast. I am so sorry. And if any of you want to disagree with me, that's okay. That's okay.
Send us an email.
No. Like they can send an email if they want. They're not going to move this fucking mountain. Okay, this is years of rage built up. All right, so don't try to change my opinion. Don't. It's going to be like trying to get me to not be a Catholic anymore. Best of luck to you. Okay. I've been one for so long. I've been one longer than I haven't. So. When it comes down to the classification systems, I don't like them because they shoehorn you into a role. And those roles are typically overwhelmed with stereotypes. Okay? You shoehorn them into a wizard. A wizard has to have wisdom, so they must be wise and intelligent. What about a dumbass wizard?
I wanna jump in there. So the first thing that you're probably thinking is...
Jared lost his mind.
Well, that and... Jared, the reason why you have to take XYZ thing is because the mechanics make it so that...
Screw mechanics!
Again, this is it. If you're playing the base game, the mechanics require it. But this is level up your gaming, okay?
Right.
So in order to level up your gaming, if some of this is resonating with you, choose other stats to be the primary stat to give the modifications that are required for the spell.
Look, that the tiny modification, and suddenly we've turned the whole world of D&D upside down.
Now, I understand that might break things. Like, if you said the Constitution was your main stat to not only cast, but also tank shit, okay? That will...
Awesome.
That could be awesome, but that could also be breaking.
It could be breaking, but you know what? That's the thing as us as a community. We have to experiment. We have to start breaking and bending rules.
Yes, you do have to experiment with it. To go back on that, the perception point from the session zero, mm-hmm. One of the other things I think was that you could cross choose your specialized stat to be the stat for rolling with it. So that becomes your modifier, meaning that there's other ways to perceive the world. It's not just wisdom. So if you have a physical perception, you could say that you are so attuned physically,
yes,
that your physical perception is what is actually, you know, giving you feedback here.
And that's a modification on a system. That's what I'm recommending, is that we simply modify the system, not so that people can be more advantageous, but it's more so people don't have to be as specialized.
One of the things that you get to do with that is it gets rid of meta in the game, okay?
Huh?
I believe in the online gaming world, it stands for most efficient tactical advantage.
Mm.
So there are meta classes and meta combinations with races. So one of the things that you can do to break that, because for example, half orc barbarian. Okay.
I'm aware of the D&D half-orc barbarian.
Okay. No other class race combination comes out quite as good as that one. However, half-orcs don't play well in the sandbox with everything. Okay? So in order to get all of those class benefits, you have to take the race effectively. In order to maximize the class, you have to take the race. And this is what I talked about in saying you can break the mold and saying we're going to play humans. Okay, everybody's playing a human, but you can get any race's benefits as a human, meaning that maybe you're just a naturally
born big.
You're born big. You're born strong. You're born with that savage attack. Again, this is stuff that doesn't work great on like a D&D Beyond because it's flexed into the actual classes. This is pen and paper. You're going to have to roll this stuff out here. But what you do get out of it is you end up with more flexibility in your game to let the players play what they want.
Well, beyond that, you get characters. You get players playing characters, not stats. Because here's the thing. Even your meta, let's use that, or I don't even know how to use the term, so I'm not going to. Even your power gamer, right, who wants to just kick in doors, mash it up. Maybe he doesn't want to play a half-orc. He wants that story as a human. And by forcing those sorts of situations, what we were doing is shoehorning him into, you have to play the half-orc. Then he plays the half-orc character. So he talks like this. He's got the tusks. We're forcing him into that role. He can't play the freaking mountain. Game of Thrones reference?
Yes.
Okay? Why not? Why can't there be a freaking mountain who's as big as half-orcs? Why? He was just born big. I have met some former students who was, one of my former students was like, I don't know, he was 6 foot something. Like, my wife thought he was a staff member, a new staff member when he first walked in. He never worked out in his life, but he is just massive. And I'm pretty sure, like, he can pick up tables and never freaking lifted a weight in his life. Never. He's just born that way. God bless him. He drinks his milk. You know what I mean? And when we classify characters, now I can speak more to White Wolf. With White Wolf, you know, when you say that someone has to play an Uktenna, we automatically fall into these stereotypes. We do. Mm-hmm. Uktenna is a tribe that's very much based in First Nations or Native Americans, as we all know, you know, whatever term mm-hmm. that they'd prefer. You're automatically shoehorned into a lot of stereotypes, tons of stereotypes. Let's take Geth of Fenris, all right? Easy example. Geth of Fenris are the metal, kill-everything warriors of werewolf. That's what they are. Like, let's get into the fight! They are your warrior, your barbarian class for Dungeons & Dragons. They're always itching to get into the fight. Boom, I'm shoehorned in. Why? Because I want to play a character with a certain set of powers. And that's where a lot of your players will fall into. I want this classification of power. I think this power is awesome. I want the capability for, you know, to grow 3 times my size and stomp on my enemies. Why? Because that's the story I guess I want to tell, the character that I want to play. So what do I automatically do? I pick that one tribe, I pick that one set of personality, I pick that one stereotype, just so I can have this stupid power. But the question is, why not just allow that power to come into play early? Why not break out of the box? Ant-Man, for example. Let's take Ant-Man the movie. He has the ability to, in the second movie, he has the ability to grow to 100 feet and stomp and crush on things. Does he do it well? No. Is he even tactical about his shape changing or size changing when he goes big? No. He uses a truck for like a roller skate or a skateboard. just because we give them the power. Now, the thing is, if you have a trust issue with your player that they're just going to abuse this and grow to 120 feet and just go, rah, destroy city, then you have a problem because you need to have a discussion with your players on what kind of game they want to play. If they want to play a bunch of Godzilla-like characters, please go back to session zero. Please talk to them about them storytelling. If they want to tell a story about giant monsters duking out in a city, by all means, I will totally play a giant monster dukes out in the city. I'm not telling that story because that, for me as a storyteller, if you told me like Jared, I'm Godzilla, that's what I want to play. Cool, play, be the storyteller. Then you can be any Godzilla character you want. You can switch characters like that. That's why I love being a storyteller, because I don't have to stick to one character. All right? I'm 50 different characters because I have ADHD. Like, it happens. But the thing is if you're worried about your player using these powers, that's a whole different conversation rather than being like, well, because sooner or later, if he picks Geta Fenris and he gets up in enough ranks and he gets to rank 3, he's going to have that ability. He's going to have it, and he's going to abuse it. He's just going to abuse it later in the game.
And again, so I guess the point is, I mean, if you're trying to make them choose because they're going to choose because of the power, if they're going to just want the power, I mean, it makes more sense for you to let them play a character in the game that ends up having the power and works better with your group than to pick something that is, it's like you have like a stapler, a toaster, and a refrigerator as your like your party, and it's like none of these things work well together.
Well, the toaster and the refrigerator, I mean, do you keep your bread in the refrigerator?
No. Oh, sorry. Okay, let's I'll amend it. Stapler, toaster, and a treadmill.
What do you got to say about my treadmill? I'm trying to lose weight.
I'm just saying, none of those things work well together in the party.
I'm seeing my treadmill.
But people chose those things. Are you calling me fat? I tried to give an analogy here, and it's not. You're not helping.
But no, you're right. Now, or let's say, for example, you know, you've got, let's take a gun cabinet. You got 2 ARs and 1 pistol. It doesn't make any sense. You got 2 long guns, right, that take 5.56 ammunition, and then you got the pistol that takes 9mm. And they did it because they wanted the ability of a pistol, which is CQB combat and blah, 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 and home defense or whatever. But you're right. When it comes down to it, you sacrifice them not having a power temporarily to shoehorning your whole game into a character that they may not want to play, they might not like.
They may not want the class. They may not want the, they just may not want anything that you get out of that. And you've now forced them into something that is stereotypical of the class, meaning like you're going to have a, like I said, the half-orc barbarian, or you're going to have in Werewolf, the Geta Fenris, Arun, Hamid. I mean, like, or Red Talon, Lupus, Arun. Like, I mean, like, these are stereotypical things, and you're doing them for powers. Particularly, like, in Werewolf.
Yes.
In Werewolf, the problem is not just the clan, not just the tribes, okay?
The breed.
The breeds are a big thing.
And the auspices.
And the auspices, because what you want out of the breed is you want the 5 gnosis.
I want the heightened sense.
You want the 5 gnosis. You want the heightened sense. You want these things.
I have seen so many players fall into that trap. I have seen so many Lupus characters that nothing about them would define them as Lupus, so born as a wolf. Because born as a wolf, they should have an entirely different perspective on the world.
Basically,
they should.
Basically, everyone who ends up picking these things always then picks things to mitigate the flaws that they have. Meaning that, like, a Lupus. So in Werewolf, and we're getting a little deep on the world of darkness here, but in Werewolf, Alupis is born as a wolf, is a werewolf, so he's raised by wolves, literally, okay? He knows nothing of the human world, okay? Or very, very little, okay? But everybody always says...
Carr should be known as Fast Death Machine. I am not getting in the Fast Death Machine. It took out my brother.
Everybody always then says, oh, by the way, my Lupus it has been around the human world long enough to know about the human world.
You know, because you take a five-year-old.
But why did you choose the Lupus? Well, you chose it because you wanted the five gnosis.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And in classifications were okay. But to dive further into your point, hate classifications. You might say, well, my players, you know, like they want the five gnosis, and I let them do it because then at least I keep the why? So you can keep the structure of power that's been created by game designers who had an entirely different idea for plot, theme, mood. Didn't even have your story in mind. They didn't. They didn't even have your players in mind when they built this. They had their players in mind when they built this. And the thing is that you are a GM. You can take it anywhere that you freaking want to. Here's my... Oh, I'm about to say it. I'm about to get to say it. Finally, to an audience of how many? I finally get to say it. We play in a game of wondrous imagination. And yet, we allow ourselves to be confined by numbers, boxes, and classes. How... silly is that? Silly. It's terrifyingly silly. We literally, as storytellers, as players, come up with brilliant stories that are full of life and wondrous things, and yet we're like, yeah, you can't have that because you're not a level 5 night dancer. And to become a level 5 night dancer, first you must be a level 12 warrior. And I understand that really that's not the route that you want to go. You want to go with a flowing dancer who learns how to fight eventually. But no, I'm sorry, you're going to have to start off as a warrior class. You cannot start off as a bard. Or I have to wait till I get to level 12 bard, then become a level 12 warrior, then I can become a level 5 night dancer. Holy crap. Holy crap. When all I really wanted to do was just have the ability to spin or a lasso-like weapon that the Night Warrior or the Night Dancer gets. That's all I really wanted to make the story. Now, some of you right now are sitting there raging against me, and I love you. I love you. We're Because your rage isn't at me. It's actually at the books that have been containing you for so long. They've got you blinded, man.
Might be directed a little bit at Jared.
Might be directed a little at me. Because you might be like, well, my players are about to go hog fucking wild. The minute that I say, yeah, you can take powers, they're about to be like, I want this one, 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 this one. Okay. Remember, session zero. Remember that games are a discussion. You just because you are offering power sooner, just because I tell Aaron that he can have his size mimic sooner, does not mean that I also have to give him this, 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 and this. And the thing is I don't even have to give him his size sooner, because here's the thing that I'm going to ask. Aaron, what's the story with this character? Why are the size changing?
Well, so not even the size thing.
Well, hold on. Hey. If he just tells me, I want it because it's cool. Yeah, not going to happen. Sorry. About to dash your dreams. No. If you're telling me it's because he grew up small and helpless and always dreamed of being bigger, and then one day it freaking happened, and it's really about him learning self-control and love of self. You want that power? I'm giving it to you on a silver freaking platter. You pull that off, done. But the first time that you get it, I'm going to make it so difficult for you to control, it's not even going to be combat applicable. Be open and honest with your players. Yes, I'm going to give you can start off with this massive power, but I'm telling you right now, When you try to activate it on several occasions, it is not going to work, or it is going to work the opposite direction on which that you intended to use it, because you told me this is a story about internal growth and control. That's what this story is about. It's about him learning to control.
Which so is why the character levels up.
That's why the character levels up. Until then, you know, here's the thing. No one... Well, there are some people who do just pick up firearms and are just freaking Deadeye Dans.
But, I mean, to your point here, I mean, I disagree with you a little bit there in that I like to grow into the power. I just don't want to be confined by the rule set. Like, I want to be able to choose. Effectively, I want to be able to choose my power progression path. But I may want to be called something else.
That's fine. I'm saying that this is a conversation. It's not a straight up like.
Yes,
it's going to be like, messy.
I thought about this when we talked about our long game of paladins and clerics, these pious people coming in here. It'd be tough to do a game of only these two types because people would need to specialize out of the types that they are. So I thought to myself, well, couldn't you just do the paladin cleric game, call the cleric, basically just rebrand bard as cleric.
And holy now, singer.
Yeah, holy singer.
And their so type now, of so bardom now, is...
Now they effectively get all of the bard stuff, but they're still a cleric. So they're part of the church.
And there we go. Like, what I'm talking about is just modding outside the box.
And that's not even, like, a super-duper heavy mod. Somebody might be like, that does not work. I cannot deal with this.
and I respect that. If you are more comfortable within the box, God bless you. That's what. And that's why I don't want any angry emails. Because if you're like, Jared, you've lost your freaking mind. I like my boxes. My players like their boxes. It's what works at your table. I'm simply suggesting, offering a different perspective so you can sit back and think and go, I might want to try that for my next game. My next game isn't for another 3 years because I've already got planned every situation possible known to man. I've literally got 150 sessions planned out, so my next game is in 3 years. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
The other good thing that you could do is you could do like 3 to 5 sessions, just play it and see what it looks like.
Episodic gaming.
Great way to just kind of take it, try the bite of the apple.
Not a fan of Honeycrisp.
But like, although, if you aren't a fan of Honeycrisp, you really don't know anything about
it. Aaron, we're not going to exclude people because I don't like Honeycrisp.
You don't like... Wait, we're
going to
have...
I don't like Honeycrisp.
Words off of this.
I like the... what are the sour ones?
Granny Smith or...
Granny Smith. I love Granny Smith.
Listen, I'm not saying Granny Smith isn't a bad apple, but man, Honeycrisp...
I don't like Honeycrisp.
We're going to talk after this.
Okay, we talk. All right, but like... The thing is when you start expanding outside the box, and really what you should be doing is guiding your players to create characters and to create human beings or creatures with growth that aren't centered. The growth isn't around the center. The growth isn't around a power. The growth is around an individual with a soul, with a mind, with a personality. That's where the growth should be focused. Because that's the story that we don't Iron Man's powers are very cool, but it's about his growth as a human being from a narcissistic jerk in number one, right? He starts off only caring about building weapons and money and women, to the truest sense of a hero who sacrifices himself for others to live. The arc isn't about he built this armor and then this armor. No, those are cool things added to the character. But in the end, it's about him. It's about the person who is Tony Stark. You know, and that's really what I'm focused on is why you should break out of categorization is because, and you might say your table works fine. You know, I already have those players who are creating characters.
I think one of the points you're trying to make here is it restricting role play ability?
Yes. Is it restricting the capability of your players to build characters, players to build. Yes. Is it to build people? Because they keep getting shoehorned because they darn well love that freaking power. They've always wanted that power. They've never gotten to it. So every game session, they pick the same character because you know what? Your game always ends before I hit fourth rank and I can get my size growing thing. So every game I pick a Geta Fenris, Arun, Omid, and I play the same thing every freaking time because I'm keep trying to get to that power. And as a player, I'm not coming to you with it. And that's why there has to be that open communication. Because your player has to know, like, Jared, I really want that power. That's why I played an Arun for 50 games. That's why it's KYP. You know, that and the thing is when we start breaking out, because I was shocked, because you know, like I'm a huge fan of the Free Liga publisher, just because of what they're doing with just because they're doing new stuff. Mm-hmm. They're doing things that I'm like, you guys are out of your fucking minds. Every last one of you bastards are out of your minds. You're gonna center a game around kids, children, and they're like, yeah, we are. And I'm like, you crazy bastards. But you know what, when you read Tales from the Loop, if you're a fan at all of what was on Netflix, Stranger Things, Tales from the Loop is the system for you. Is it for your friends? You don't know. I don't know. I would not bring Tales of the Loop to my group because my group, like Jared, we're not looking to play 5-year-olds. Well, it's not 5-year-olds. It's, but there are some groups out there, because I think there's one system out there. It's like Things That Hide Under My Bed or you know, it's literally you play like elementary kids, like elementary, not even middle school, and it's a horror game.
Yeah,
it's crazy, and I like looking at their, because I might not read their rules section. I never do. I never read the powers. I go straight to the storyteller section and be like, what are you really about? And it really enlightens me to what other people are doing. And like Free Liga is doing, they do such a crazy system that I love. I absolutely love. I love the concept. But even them, with this more, you know, free-flowing, it's about story. It's about elements that make your players go, whoa. Even they classify freaking people. You can play the rocker chick. You can play the alt guy. You can play the nerd because it's set in the 1980s.
Again, if it's your first time playing the game,
yeah, go ahead and use them.
Use the stereotypes and stuff. They help you build the character. They're there to kind of give you classifications like, I don't know how I would act in this situation. Well, this is how a human might act. This is how a dwarf might act. This is like, you know, this gives you some ideas on how to role play.
Yes. Yes. And the classes and all that stuff, it's like training wheels, right? And some of us have been using training wheels for years. The true cool stuff isn't when you're on the training reels. It's when you're doing BMX stuff, triple header with the bike that swings around 14 times before he freaking lands it off a 14-foot jump, and then he does it backwards. That's when crap gets cool. Ditch the training wheels. If you've been doing D&D for 14 freaking years, or you've been doing White Wolf for 20 years, like us, it's time to be like, you know what? Maybe I'll experiment. And again, I'm not pushing you to experiment. I'm saying, give it a thought.
Give it a thought. If this is maybe always bugged you, like it's bugged Jared.
Oh God, this is like a scratching an itch that's been around for like 20 years.
This and the toilets on spaceships.
Toilets on Spaceships has been more recent since I've gotten into battle mapping, but please, as a community, we can rise above this. Mechanical rooms? Toilets. That's all you gotta put in to make a house actually a thing.
But, no, I hear you loud and clear at this one, Jared.
Yeah, it's just because, trust me, we've done this for the Detective series. We literally threw out all classifications. We made humans. Now we even have characters with powers.
And we created a whole system around how to create powers for them.
I mean, we did. And really, every power is just We have a conversation.
It is an agreement at our table about what the power might look like. We talk about how it might scale up and change.
Yeah, I mean you know, if you've got a table where people are like, well, he just wants that so he can do that, focus on your table community. It's not about the power, it's about the community at that point. What's going on that everyone's so ticked off at Eric? Is it because Eric always plays the beat shit? Maybe you have a talk with Eric. Like, hey, Eric, when do you have an idea about playing?
Might be like, I've always wanted to get that power, but we never make it to 12th level. We
never make it to 12th level. Not ever. I never get to play this out, so I keep picking the same character every time, hoping. It's like with Ken. Mm-hmm. He promised me one game where I'd get to play a sniper. And then he took that game away from me. And he's owed me ever since. And what happens if Ken kept storytelling? I'd keep making that sniper, hoping one day he'll finally let me play it. Because I know how to play snipers, so they are deadly.
Well, someday you might get to play it.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
One day. I just want a boonie hat. That's the real reason. I want a boonie hat.
Do you have anything else you want to add to the subject?
No, you know, I just want to, again, say this might be controversial for some people. Again, this is just food for thought. It's something that you might want to explore. It's something that we explored at our table, and we have seen dramatic results from it. If you're a beginning level GM, just skip ahead a few years. We're trying to skip you ahead and maybe think about it.
Again, if you're still running, you're still new to gaming, you're still new to GMing, play it straight.
Play it straight. Okay. If you're new to the system, but if it's like your fifth
Jared
game.
Said, it's like training wheels. Play it as it's written because it's easy to learn. Yeah. As it's written. And you can still have a great time as it's written.
But if you can do a minor modification, like, for example, getting rid of specific disciplines for specific clans, like you did, that's not a huge modification, and it changed our game.
It made the game enjoyable for you because you effectively got to play the clan you wanted.
I did.
While playing the clan that I needed you to play.
I got to play a combat beast. That game I played a beast.
Yes. So, I mean, again, this is a take it or leave it kind of thing. Maybe you've experimented with this. This is the level of when you start going into homebrew.
Yep.
So you just kind of keep that in mind as you look forward to doing it. But anyways, that's going to go ahead and wrap us up here for today's episode. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, share it with friends, share it with your players. Maybe your players have always wanted to run a game, but they feel confined and constrained. It's a good podcast to give them.
Yes.
You know, maybe, you know, you've looked to try to break the mold, change things. You've been doing D&D for 30 years. You want to try something a little bit different. Break the mold. Change it a little bit. Obviously, D&D comes out with a lot of source material, so it might not, you can always kind of change and flavor things a little bit different with all the subclasses that everybody gets. Again, if you... It's always not a bad idea to break the mold. I think it's a good idea in general. And if you've been role-playing for a long time, breaking the mold is good. Because once you have the basics down, it's always the same. But again, you can write to us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or comment on the episode at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. Like I said, subscribe to the podcast. We are on YouTube. By the time this episode comes out, I should have all the episodes up on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that was a painful task. It was a painful task.
Sorry.
But smash that like button.
Smash it.
Again, share your thoughts with us. But we appreciate you listening to the podcast. So for Jared, I'm Aaron. Have a great week, guys.
Have a great week, everyone.